Welcome to the South Carolina State Library's podcast, Library Voices SC. I'm Curtis Rogers, Communications Director, and today I'm pleased to have with us, via telephone and not in our studio, unfortunately, is Glennis Redmond. Glennis travels nationally and internationally, reading and teaching poetry so much that she has earned the title Road Warrior Poet. So we might have to get into a discussion of how that term came up. she has posts as the Poet in Residence at the Peace Center for Performing Arts in Greenville, South Carolina, and also at the State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. During February 2016, at the request of the U.S. State Department for their Speakers Bureau, Glennis traveled all the way to Muscat, Oman, to teach a series of poetry workshops and perform poetry for Black History Month. In 2014 through 2016, she served as the mentor poet for the National Student Poets Program to prepare students to read at the Library of Congress, the Department of Education, and for First Lady Michelle Obama at the White House. Glennis is a Cave Canem Fellow, a North Carolina Literary Fellowship recipient, and a Kennedy Center teaching artist. She also helped create the first writer-in-residence at the Carl Sandburg National Historic Site, that Carl Sandburg Home National Historic Site in Flat Rock, North Carolina. Her essay, Poetry as Mirror, was runner-up for the 2018 Betchell Prize, a competition given annually by the Teachers and Writers Collaborative in New York City. And Glennis believes that poetry is a healer, and she can be found in the trenches across the world applying pressure to those in need one poem at a time. So welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Curtis. It's so great to be talking to you.
It's great to be talking to you, too, and during National Poetry Month, no doubt.
Exactly. We love it in April to be able to talk about more poetry, even though we do it 365 days a year.
That's right, definitely. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved here in South Carolina with the Peace Center in Greenville and founding the program called Peace Voices.
Well, it's a long story that I'll make short. I'm actually from Greenville, South Carolina, and moved away, lived in Asheville for about 17 years, and but started writing poetry in middle school at Woodmont, junior, senior. It's at Woodmont Middle now, and from that writing, a rewrite exercise that my teacher had us do, Miss Sargent, who's Mrs. Allen, I started writing poetry. And I went on to Erskine to get a degree, Erskine College, in psychology. And I think it was like 5 to 7 years outside of that I was a clinical two counselor for the state of South Carolina and realized that life is too short not to do what you love. Long story short, I became a poet for on the artist roster for the South Carolina Arts Commission, and then became a Kennedy Center teaching artist. And through there, I started working with the Peace Center as a teaching artist, and I would actually be a poet that they brought students to come in for assemblies to hear my work. And about 7 years ago, when I was living in Nashville, my mother got sick, and I came back to Greenville to take care of her. And while I was here, the CEO, Megan Regal, asked, how could we, you know, get you to work with the Peace Center more poetically? And they created a spot for me, thus Poet in Residence.
How wonderful. What a sorry that your mom was ill, but, you know, to be able to get you back in the state, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I never thought I would live here, but it was one of the beautiful things of coming back. I feel like learning more about myself, learning more about my history, and also I get to connect with students in the hometown in which I was raised.
Definitely. And how did you also get involved in the State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey?
Well, as a Kennedy Center teaching artist, we travel across the country and work with partners. Their partners are usually a school district and an art performing organization. And so at the time, the State Theater was a Kennedy Center partner. And I was working with the VP of Education, Leanne Farah, who, after bringing me there a couple of times to work in her community, she said, you know, we like what you do, and how can we deepen this relationship? And at this stage in the game, I'm about deepening relationships. So they created a residency for me there. My work there is not, it's more community-based in Greenville, even though it's expanding more community-based. I have been working more in the schools. So in New Jersey, I was able to put on my counselor hat and go into all these different underserved communities, and also communities, very affluent communities, but still did not know they needed poetry. So I feel like any community is underserved when they don't realize that they have a poet, they have a need, and they haven't really recognized that yet. So I get to go into corporations and the prisons and, you know, preschools and any organization that would have me to talk about poetry. And my job is not to make people poets, but for them to discover the poetry within them.
But part of what you do is also hosting workshops, and you do help people essentially become poets if they want to. What's that like?
Yeah, you know, it's not, I don't think it's the end game, but people do become poets. People do realize that they have a knack and a gift, and I think that is really, really lovely. And it happens a lot. The program that I run at the Peace Center is called Peace Voices. I run free adult and teen workshops. And it's amazing to find people who discover their voice and strengthen their voice. And then by the time they're finished, they realize that I really love this work. And it is really powerful to me to see students along the way. I've been at this long enough where I have had students who are now coming back and, you know, in the field of writing or creating. And so it's lovely to see that development, that blossoming.
That is. That's extremely rewarding when you can see what your work has done. You mentioned working with adults and teens. Do you also work with at-risk teens?
Yes. I mean, I work in a lot of, I mean, that's really, you know, as a counselor, that was where my heart was and still is. And so I do a lot of work with at-risk teens, but I, it's not necessarily the focus at this point, but I meet a lot of at-risk folks. Period, teens and adults. So that work is still important to me, and I think it will always be. You know, there's tends to be a social justice, you know, component, and I don't like to use those terms because I don't really know if that's really exactly what it is. I mean, what I know, this is what I truly know, is that poetry saved my life, and I offer it as a tool and a skill to others.
Well, now you've mentioned something that I think is important. How did poetry save your life?
Well, you know, people think I'm being hokey, but I really, you know, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia as a clinical 2 counselor. I did not know what was wrong with me. Just kind of had the flu every 3 to 4 weeks, just couldn't shake it. And this was back in the 90s. And finally, my doctor said, you know, this is what you have. You have fibromyalgia, and there's no cure for it. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to die, but you're going to sure wish you would. Mm. Not long after that, I had the television turned on to PBS, and Bill Moyers was covering a poetry festival, Dodge Poetry Festival, which is in New Jersey, ironically. and there was a poet by the name of Lucille Clifton, and I won't recite the poem, but the two last lines of her poem was, come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed.
Wow.
And I heard those lines and I said, you know what? I am going to celebrate. I am definitely going to celebrate with you because something is trying to kill me. And I took up the banner of poetry then.
That's amazing.
And I decided I was doing a lot of different kind of poetry at the time. I was working in the schools. I started working with teens. I was created the first poetry slam in Greenville, South Carolina. Then I started working with a group called Poetry Alive, where we were bringing contemporary poetry in the classroom. So I just was doing poetry and, you know, all around the clock. And poetry really just threw a lifeline to me. It did not, It did not heal me. I want to say it did not cure fibromyalgia. But it gave me a place in which to move forward. Mm-hmm. And my illness kind of took a back seat. Poetry took, the front seat. And it allowed me to, navigate the world.
That's great. That's just an amazing story, how you can, get so involved and wrapped up in something that it can really, really help the whole body and mind,
I really do recommend it. I mean, it was my prescription. I have a little short poem if you want to hear it.
Oh, yes, definitely.
That I wrote back to Lucille Clifton. It took me 20 years, but I wrote back to her. And so the poem is called RSVPing to Lucille Clifton, and it has the epigraph, come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Lucille Clifton. I got your invitation, and it was right on time. Up off the couch I rise from the doctor's prognosis. You won't die from this, but you'll sure wish that you would have. Pinched by pain, I pray for release. You say, come celebrate with me. I arrive late to the party with my poetry shoes on. I sing loud and off-key, full-throated with no apologies. With your invitation, I take stock of my non-white and woman passage. You instructed me to make it up. I do. Follow your lead between starshine and clay. And every time they try to break me in Babylon, I keep dancing my dreams. Shimmy the limbo while I stomp on fibromyalgia's head, shouting to this killing life, you fail.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Artistically, it's kind of interesting when you realize I can actually respond to that creatively, and I responded to it as a person, and it changed my life, her poem. But I thought maybe I should just talk to her directly, even though she's gone. I really wanted to talk to her directly.
Sure, definitely. It's not only cathartic, it's uplifting, and it makes you feel good, and it makes people who read it feel good.
Mm.
One of the things you mentioned were working in different styles of poetry, and you also mentioned slam poetry. Can you tell us a little bit about slam poetry and what other kind of styles of poetry you work in?
Yeah, I was very involved in the 90s in slam. I don't slam anymore. I love it as a tool for teens to practice the craft and the tool. But, I never really considered myself a slam poet, but the work that I do all would lend itself to that because I tell people that my first poets were Black Baptist ministers, because of the cadence. So I fit right in with the slam poets in the 90s. But I really consider myself Afro-Carolinian, which, my Southern roots really dictate how I talk. My African roots dictate. I feel like I'm very much a griot, if I'm anything, a storyteller that's, remembering lineage, trying to put things back together. I will sing at times. I'll sing my poems. I will, I come from that West African singing tradition. So I really feel like I fit more into that category than anything else. Mm-hmm. Slam was just a venue that matched my, it was a great venue for me. And I'm a big advocate, especially for teens. But I am what you call a free verse narrative poet. I love writing about lineage. And I'm not formal. I don't really write in form unless I just use it as an exercise. So every once in a while, you'll find me writing in form. But mostly I'm a free verse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, and what other kinds of workshops do you... do you put on, and how do those go? Is it things that people register for and pay for through the Peace Center, or?
Sure, yeah. If you go to peacecenter.org, there is a tab with that says Community Impact, and you can go down and you'll see Peace Voices, and it will see the workshops that I offer. We just got finished with the spring, so I won't offer again until February, but I do a series of three. I do three workshops in a row, and usually they're on Wednesdays. We call them Writing Wednesdays, and you can sign up for them. They're free. Anyone can come. What I've been really looking at is poetry as memoir.
Hmm.
And poetry as a way to tell your story. So those that's really where my gaze is, because that's the work that I'm doing personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I lend my my lens to the participants to create their own story through those workshops.
Definitely, and I'm glad you mentioned the website, because we will certainly have that listed on our podcast webpage, and that's for the Peace Center Peace Voices, and we'll also have a link to your website, which is glennisredmond.com. I think that's what it is.
Yes.
Okay, and since this is Library Voices SC, we always try to pull libraries into the fold.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with libraries? It could be public, academic, any kind of libraries, but we always like to talk about libraries.
So I want to tell you, I'm a military kid, and my mother, what she would do when we were traveling around the country, she would make our house a home. But for me, what would make a new place home was my library card.
Ah.
So I have libraries all across the country and the world that rooted me. And you know how when you move to a new place and you don't know anybody, the library became that place of solace for me and connection. So I have actually done a series of library poems, because I've been trying to honor all of the libraries that I went to.
Oh, wow.
As a kid. And there was one that's called, one of my first ones is to the library in Tacoma, Washington, which I just don't think it exists anymore. But I had my mother take me there, and the poem is called Pilot's License, and it goes, I was five when I got my wings. I was five when I learned how to fly. I practiced with slopes, curls, and glides. And just when I was ready to soar, my mama marched me right through the library door, and I signed right on the dotted line.
That's wonderful. I think I got this visual of you as a child just, you know, getting your library card, and that's such a great visual.
It is, and I was actually really four. The backstory, as I was four, and I went and I couldn't sign my name, so I had to come home and practice signing my name before I could go back and get my library card. And I got in a lot of trouble because I didn't sign on paper. I signed actually on the walls and in the Chester drawer, third drawer down, and got in a whole lot of trouble for that. But libraries, I do give them the credit for making me who I am as a poet, because I still feel libraries are sacred, more sacred for me than chapel, because it's the way, place where I've communed with other authors that taught me how to be in the world.
Well, and so, likewise, I'm sure libraries appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think librarians are rock stars.
Well, thank you. So as we're wrapping up, what kind of special projects do you have coming up maybe in the coming months?
Well, coming month, I mean, there's a really beautiful, I run a program called Poetic Conversations at the Peace Center, and this one's coming up in June. It's the last of June, and it is Poetry with Pride, and we are going to be having two poets, Dinez Smith and Andrea Gibson, will be gracing our stages, and we are really excited about that. It's June 28th, and it's at 6:30, and these are two dynamic writers and poets, and so we're really, really excited about that coming up. And then on May 23rd at 5:30, we're having a community reading, and that is all the people I work with, from elementary all the way up to senior citizens, will be taking the stage and reading their own work at the Peace Center at the Ramser Studio.
That's wonderful. Those sound like great programs. And also, that's information is available at the Peace Center, the Peace Voices webpage.
That's right. If they go just to, it's just, you know, www.peacecenter.org. And when you go there, look at community impact, and under just pull down, there'll be Peace Voices, and it will name all of the projects or the events that we have coming up. And with that, they can just click on the link and they can register, and it's free. All of the events are free.
That's wonderful. So, I think a lot of people love hearing that word.
Yeah, we do too. I mean, it's free 99. We try to make it possible for everybody to come and experience either a reading, a conversation, a talk back, or a workshop, a poetry slam. We have something for everyone. We have poems for the academic. We have poems for the performance poets. We have people who are in the middle. So there's something for everyone. We just try to make poetry accessible to the community.
That's wonderful. And I know, I'm sure the Greenville community greatly appreciates you and everything that you do.
Well, I really appreciate my community. There are a lot of lovely poets here. We're all trying to elevate, you know, just like libraries are just trying to elevate, you know, the literary arts. We really believe people become better people when they read and experience and create. I think it brings the walls down. So I think we're all in it. You know,
definitely
together.
Yeah, and there's a lot of opportunities for folks everywhere. You just really have to, you know, get out there and contact your local library and find out what's going on so that you can get involved.
That's right. You know, because I mean, the library here still I partner with and go over and do workshops for them in Greenville. And so it's an ongoing love affair, and there's something for everyone.
Yep, there's always good stuff at the library.
Good free stuff.
That's right.
And I raised my daughters in public libraries. You know, they always knew that we would always scour what was going on. You know, we would be there. They learned to, you know, matter of fact, Dewey Decimal was not, you know, that was something that, you know, that they knew in our household. You know,
right.
So, you know, and poets and writers were really, you know, and librarians were, you know, very, very important to them and still is. And I have a 3-year-old grandson, Julia Josiah, who is learning how powerful libraries and books are too. So we just want to spread the gospel of books and literature.
And he needs to start practicing how to write his name so he can get that card.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Curtis.
And thank you to our listeners. You can find Library Voices SC on Podbean, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, or add us to your favorite podcast app. Our podcast website address is librarycast.podbean.com. We love hearing from our listeners, so send us your comments and suggestions for future topics. Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. Until next time, this is Curtis Rogers. Thanks for listening.